Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 16 tonight, Acts chapter 16. I want to speak on the subject that is so important to you as an individual and to us as a church, to God's servants, to any position you might have in this church, whatever it may be, and that is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The guidance and the power, the guidance especially of the Holy Spirit. The verses I'm going to read primarily are sort of missions verses. But in missions is so important. There are a lot of people who say, well, we don't need to get more involved in missions. There's plenty to be done here. Charity begins at home. We need to start here and spend more of our money here. But I'll tell you, it's a pity if it ends here. Shouldn't end here. And God showed that church and showed in the early church the importance of following the leadership of the Holy Spirit in the matter of getting the Word of God out in the matter of missions. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6, the Bible says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Now what's what is said there? Pay attention closely to what is said. Acts 16:6. "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost." Now you can write Holy Spirit there, the word Spirit by ghost. They're interchangeable. It's the same thing. They are the same person, I should say, "and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the capital S, Spirit, the Holy Spirit, suffered them not," wouldn't let them go there. They went somewhere else. Now, you say, well, is that important to us? Yes, because that's how the gospel got to Europe, and that's how you and I got the gospel. And I'm glad that the Holy Spirit led and stopped them from going in one direction and led them to go in another direction, because tonight we're here, we have the gospel, we've been saved by God's grace because somebody followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is a person. Put her down. He is a person. Read and study about the Holy Spirit and you'll find that he has the traits of personality. He is co-equal with the Father and the Son. He was involved before the foundation of the world and all of the decision processes that the Trinity made. And the Holy Spirit of God is a divine person that often is neglected and overlooked. He is vital. He is important. We talk about Jesus. Amen. We talk about God the Father. Yes. But we need to not be afraid of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, and the teaching of the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit does a lot of things, and let's just be reminded of some of them tonight. You may know some of these, you may not, but be reminded at least of what the Holy Spirit does. First thing he does is he regenerates us. You couldn't get saved without the Holy Spirit. You couldn't get saved without the work of the Holy Spirit. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to break your heart, to humble you, and to draw you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? You're dead in your trespasses and dead in your sin, just like a corpse down there at the funeral home in the casket. You're dead. And I'm dead in my sins. Well, we have volition, we have choice to a degree, but spiritually we're just as dead as we can be. And the Bible says, we could not get saved except the Holy Spirit draw us. That ought to make us once in a while just say to the Holy Spirit, thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for drawing us to be saved. You remember when you got saved? Now I'm going to upset some of you Baptists. Do you remember the feeling you had when you got saved? It's a good feeling, isn't it? And you may not have wept, you may not have shouted. Some did, some cried. And some, it was just a release of all of the guilt. But thank God the Holy Spirit worked in your heart and in my heart. I'm glad. I was 9. You may have been 90. I don't know. I baptized some that are in their 80s. And one or two, I think, in my 40 years of being in the ministry that were in their 90s. That's rare, but I'm glad the Holy Spirit moves in the hearts of the believer. John 3:5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Except a man be born of water and of the, that's not baptismal regeneration. Don't go there. The water of the Word is one thing it certainly could be referring to, and it could be referring to natural birth, but it's not referring to baptismal regeneration. You don't get saved by being baptized, but thank God, he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't be going to heaven if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. Love him. Love him. Worship him. You say, well, you're just supposed to worship God and Jesus. No, worship the Holy Spirit. I know what he said about the Father and the preeminence and all, but he is co-equal with the Father. He's not. It's not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are three in one. The Holy Spirit also indwells us. He indwells us. He lives in us. We had the prayer meeting before church, and some of you men may want to join us sometimes. We meet at 5:30 and have a prayer meeting, those that are able to come and want to be there. And one of the men who was praying was saying, it's just an awesome thing that we get to talk to the living God. Isn't that right? And it is. Prayer, an awesome thing. But you know what's awesome too is that God lives in your body. Having seen some of our bodies, I'd say that's amazing grace. Amen. But irregardless, it's a fact. The Holy Spirit lives in our body. Just think about it. Here I am, your pastor. I'm up here, but the Holy Spirit's living inside me. God is inside me. He's inside you if you're saved. The Holy Spirit's inside you. You can grieve him. He's always with you. He never leaves you. The Holy Spirit indwells us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? You're the house of God. And some people would come in here and they wouldn't do bad things in this house of God. And I know the church is the people and the building is where we assemble. But I believe it's an important building. I believe it is. And how would you feel if somebody came in here and just started cussing a blue streak? You'd say, hey man, of course they ought not do it anywhere, but they surely shouldn't do it in the house of God. If somebody started in this building during the week with a beer can in their hand and the staff saw them, they would not get in the building. We'll say, you're not going to come in God's house. You're not going to come in this church building with that. If they come in smoking, we're going to stop them at the door. We just don't believe that's a good thing to do. I mean, even unsaved secular people in the world got better sense than that now. I mean, you know, you can't eat a taco in a smoking environment anymore, and that's all right with me. But I'm just saying, we make big deals out of that. But look, your body, now think about it, your body is where God the Holy Spirit lives. So everything you do with your body, the Holy Spirit is involved in that in a degree. I know you make the choice and you're the responsible one, but he lives in this house. That's why we should give some degree and not make it a worshipful thing. I'm glad the Bible says bodily exercise doeth little good. But it does do a little good, amen? But there are a lot of things, that's in the Bible, that's a loose translation, but that's what it means. But it is, our bodies are the temple, the dwelling place of God. And I think that ought to make us be different. Our habits different, where we take it, so on and so forth. You follow what God is saying to us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And then the Holy Spirit seals the believer. Seals a believer. I like that. Have you ever gotten any green beans that hadn't been sealed properly? And you opened it up and started to pour them out and that wax wasn't on top or hadn't been sealed right or whatever they do. Jelly, I guess, was with wax. Paraffin or whatever you ladies call that stuff. I don't fool with it much. But you know, it's a raunchy, stinking thing if it hadn't been sealed, right? Something to be said about sealing. And I like that good old jelly. And they put that wax on top of it, and it's always hard to get out of there. Have you ever noticed that? I usually stick a knife in it and spurt it up on my face before I get that wax out of there. I try to take an ice pick at it and a knife, sharp knife or something, finally get it to break in the middle and pull it out half by the halves. But it's been sealed. At least I know it's been sealed. And man, I'd like that on a good hot piece of toast. Are you hungry? Good hot piece of toast. Oh, everybody go home tonight and fix some jelly and toast. And put it on there with some good old butter. And man, it's good. Or honey or something like that, you know. But oh, thank God the Holy Spirit seals the believer. He seals us. He indwells us and he seals us. Nobody can break the seal. Nobody. The Armenians are wrong. They say you can lose it. They say you got it by your good works and you can lose it by your bad works. Both of those are lies. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And nothing can break through that seal. No one, no power. We're sealed, sealed. And we're going to make it to heaven unspoiled. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a reminder, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Amen.
How long's that? Well, until I draw my last breath, until Jesus returns. I am safe and sealed, and you can't break that seal. You got to go through the Holy Spirit. You got to go through Jesus. You got to go through the Father to break it, and it isn't going to happen. Thank God we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. But don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, you can grieve him. You can quench him. Grieving him is not doing what he tells you to do, or doing what he tells you not to do. And quenching him is not doing what he tells you to do when the Holy Spirit leads you to do it. So you're familiar with that. Here's another thing. The Holy Spirit breaks the power of sin. Boy, do we need that in our walk. The Holy Spirit breaks the power of sin. You say, well, I just can't help it. Oh, but you can. Well, I just got this habit. I just do this thing. I just can't help it. Preach, I just can't help it. Oh, but you can. Through the Holy Spirit, or the Bible is not true. Romans 8:13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Any Christian that decides they're going to live after the flesh and not live after the Spirit, you're asking for a premature death. And I know the people say, well, it's your time. That's when you're going to die. It's your time. Well, I know God knows it, but you can make it earlier by your habits and by your sin and by your lifestyle. You can cut your life short, even though God in his omniscience knows what's going to happen. And that's a fact of the Word of God. But he says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, now listen to what he says. If you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Morticians mortify death. You reckon it dead and you reckon yourself dead to sin. I'm crucified to Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. I died with the Lord Jesus Christ. I was buried with Jesus and I rose with the Lord Jesus Christ. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And it is through the Spirit that we do mortify the deeds of the body. You can do it through the Holy Spirit's power. Call on him. Ask him. Admit your sin. Tell him you need help. Make some decisions to not do it, and he'll step in and give you strength to overcome those things in your life that are not pleasing to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit breaks the power of sin in our lives. And then he wants to anoint us. He wants to anoint us. That may seem a little strange to a lot of folks. I don't know about this anointing stuff. This just simply means that God's hand is on us. God's power is on us. God's touch. God is blessing us. He anoints us. And don't we want that? Don't you want that as a Christian man for your family? Don't you ladies want that as a mother? Don't you teenagers want that? Where you go to school and as you serve the Lord, whatever you do, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, don't all of us want that? Surely, surely we must want it. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And I know Jesus was God, but Jesus was as much man as he was God, as much God as man. And in that relationship, he needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that he was anointed with the Holy Ghost, consequently, and with power. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Why? To discern the Word of God. The best teacher you'll ever have is the Holy Spirit. Get alone. Get on. That doesn't minimize good teachers or your pastor or those things. But the greatest teacher is the Holy Spirit of God. Get alone, read it, reread it, pray, say, Holy Spirit, you wrote it. You know exactly what it means. Every once in a while when I'm studying, I run into a passage. It's what we call problem text. It seems to contradict some other areas, or it seems to contradict itself, and it seems like it is not saying what it should be saying. But you get on your knees and talk to God about it. You might want to use some helps. That's all right. But be sure you talk to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, shine some light on this. You guided, you led those men when they wrote this book, and you know exactly what you meant by what you said. And you preserved that for us in a good old King James Version. And so just tell me, Holy Spirit, what it says. And sometimes it's so exciting when the Lord turns the light on. You say, oh, that's wonderful. And he'll make you think of some other verses and some other things. But we need the Holy Spirit to discern the Word of God. He wants to do that. And first of all, we need to be studying it. And some people are not worried one whit about the discerning of the Holy Spirit because they're not even in the Bible. They don't have any question about it because they don't ever read the Bible much. They watch a lot of television. Amen, preacher. Amen. Watch a lot of television. If we'd turn our television, I've always wanted to do this, but I've just felt like the Baptists wouldn't go along with me. Even though I've been here 10 years, I'm not sure you would, is to have no TV month and say, now, I want you to get in some good literature and get in the Bible. I'm telling you something, it'll revolutionize your life. And we've got more TV. I think I've got 1 million channels at the house or something like that. I don't know. I've never gone as high as the numbers will go. Got all kinds of stuff, but I'm telling you, we need to be in the Word. And when we are in the Word, we know we'll need the Holy Spirit to discern. Yes, I'm hurrying. I know the Super Bowl's on. You saw me keep looking at the clock. Doesn't mean a thing. No, there's not much hope for them. Reminds me of the little Catholic boy went to church with a little Baptist boy, and the Baptist went with him first, and the Catholic, he said, what are they doing? He said, well, this means this, and they genuflex, and this means this. And he said, well, I noticed, and they went to the church with the Baptist boy, and he said, I noticed your preacher always picks up his watch and looks at it. He said, what does that mean? He said, not one thing. It doesn't mean one thing. If we're going to do the work God wants us to do, if we're going to discern this book, and we ought to be in the book, then we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Not only to help us understand it, but to apply it. Holy Spirit, not only help me understand it, but what good does it do to understand it if you don't apply it? Holy Spirit, help me to apply the Word of God, and we need him to help us do a work. I don't care what you're doing for God. You need the Holy Spirit's touch on it. Teach a Sunday school class, drive a bus, do bus visitation, out on team soul winning, singing in the choir, and all of that, whatever it may be, playing an instrument. Listen, we need the power of the Holy Spirit on it. All of it. It's all important. It's all vital. In order to do the work, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also guides us. We'll just touch on a few things very quickly. And I'm glad he does. You know why? He is omniscient. I'm not. And wives, you're not. I saw some real strange looks. You're not omniscient. Husbands, we're not either. Amen. But the Holy Spirit's omniscient. Aren't you glad he's omniscient? He knows. I'd rather have somebody who knows where we're going and knows what's going to happen leading me than some dummy. Amen. Than somebody else. I'd rather have the Holy Spirit leading me, wouldn't you? Ask Him to, Holy Spirit. There's seldom a day goes by, bless the Lord, oh my soul, that I don't say, Lord, I need You to guide me today. Guide me, where do I go? Sometimes, where do I park? You know, it's amazing, the Holy Spirit will lead you. Saturday, we're out visiting. I'm hurrying. We're out visiting Saturday. Doesn't mean anything. We're out visiting Saturday. When He shows up, and that's every week. He shows up faithfully every week. He drives, I navigate, and we get there. And we had three cards, new moves, and we thought maybe we could get in there. And when we got through, I was supposed to bring some more cards, and I did, but I brought the wrong set. And it was way over the other side of Arlington, and we were way south toward Burleson. And I said, you know what? I guess it's just the providence of God. That's what you always say when you make a mistake, you know. And I said, I'm going to accept it. I said, let's just go down here. And let's go over here to these new houses. And we went down. I said, he was about to pass the road. I said, turn right here. And he turns. And then I said, take another right. And then we took a right. And then we went past. I said, we don't want to stop here. We've been here. Let's go right down to the inn. I said, let's just go down. I just feel like that'd be a good place to start. And we started, knocked on the first door, didn't get in. The second house was for sale. The third house, we rang the doorbell, and a big guy came to the door. And I want you to pray for him. His name is Jack Williams. You pray for him. Write his name down and pray for him. I was hoping he'd be here today, but we're not giving up. But he's a big guy, about 6'3 or 4, big broad shoulder guy, and muscle like Brother Rigsby and I, and big old guy. And he came to the door, and, you know, I'm looking up at him. Boy, I believe you. I tell you, I'm looking up to him. And I told him who I was, and I said, we're just out visiting in your area, and I'm the pastor, and this is Brother Larry Wren. We wonder if we could visit with you a few moments. And he looked. He said, yeah, come on in. Come on in. And I thought, well, that's good. So we got in. We chatted a little bit, and he had some kind of lizards in a tank, and we looked at those. And then he finally said, sit down. We got to talking to him. He said something about the fact that, you know, I just don't think it's an accident that you stopped by here today. And he said, I said, well, we really hadn't planned to be here, but it just seemed like this is where the Lord put us. He said that his wife had just left him. And they were trying to have some reconciliation. And I began to talk to him. We talked to him, led him to Christ. He had a background of a home, Baptist home, and he got saved. And I'm going to be counseling he and his wife. You pray, and I hope someday, I pray to God someday. But my point is not all of that. My point is this, that the Holy Spirit, I believe, was leading us Saturday, and I believe that's why he got saved. And I'm looking forward to his coming. I believe he's going to, and you pray for him. But the Holy Spirit guides us, and he wants to guide us not just once in a while, not just during those awful times, but every day. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. And by the way, there's a lot of stuff blamed on the Holy Spirit that people say he's leading them to do that's a lie. Because I want to tell you this, the Holy Spirit never, never, never leads anybody to contradict this book. Amen. Never. And if somebody tells you the Holy Spirit led them to do something that contradicts this book, you know better than that. Because the Holy Spirit of God is going to always lead in harmony with the Word of God. He wants to lead with our plans. He wants to lead you in marriage. He wants to lead you in your career. He wants to guide you in your business. He wants to lead you in your finances. He wants to lead you whether or not you should relocate or take that other job or whatever it may be in your plans. The Holy Spirit wants to be involved in that. And how do we get Him involved? A lot of different ways, but obviously one is prayer. We pray and ask Him. That's the way we ask Him. And then He begins to lead us, and we have inward impressions. Call it what you want. But the Spirit, if you'll just be in tune and listen for Him, just pay attention. Listen. Listen to Him. And He leads you on the inside. The Holy Spirit of God with inward impressions. Many times it's circumstances. You say, we just had a bit of bad luck. There is no such thing as bad luck to the Christian. There is no good luck. There is no bad luck. It is God working in our lives. And many times, if we just listen to the Holy Spirit, the circumstances we have are there because He's trying to get our attention so He can talk to us. So don't look at God and say, "Why did you do this to me, God?" Get on your knees and say, "Oh, Holy Spirit, I don't understand why this is happening in my life, but what do you want to teach me? Teach me. Show me what you want to teach me." He leads through that. He leads, obviously, through the Scriptures. How does He lead us? He leads us in witnessing. I'm glad He does that. As I gave that illustration, that's what Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, you remember that story. And Philip was there at a revival meeting in Jerusalem. Good meeting. Most of us wouldn't have left. But the Holy Spirit, God said, "Philip, I want you to go down there. There's a eunuch from Ethiopia coming back from this area, and he didn't get saved. He's going to be reading Isaiah," and that's what he was reading, Isaiah 53, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "I want you to go down there and jump on his chariot, run up there and get on his chariot and tell him how to be saved." And that's exactly what he did. And by the way, that's why Africa had the gospel many, many, many years ago. It's not just a white person's gospel. The Ethiopian eunuch got saved and took it back to Queen Candace and throughout all of Ethiopia. And there were many Christians that were there. When people went in there, they found that there were Christians there. Why? Because Philip listened to the Holy Spirit. And Africa got the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. He leads in witnessing. He leads. Jesus said, "I must go by Samaria." I believe the Holy Spirit was leading Jesus. He said He led Him. And then to judge sin in our lives. He always leads us to judge sin in our lives. He'll never lead you not to judge sin in your life. He always leads you to judge it. And He'll always lead you to get saved right now if you'll listen to Him, if you're not saved. Let's stand, please.